And this is the show, Dr. Can You Help Me? And this is your host, Dr. Christian. Doctor, can you help me? Is not a medical show, even the title might indicate something like that. This is much broader. This is a science show, a motivational material show, and success for life show. We handle in this show every possible topic that will guide us to better in our life, succeed better and get better results, and learn and get even financially richer. This show has a topic that's called life, everything possible in life. Now today we start with secrets of having a happy marriage, how to have a happy marriage, just a few principles. We have in our website, which is abbreviated from our organization's name, the show is produced by the not-for-profit organization Save the American Family, the leading new organization for all family matters, and at the same time, it's a nationwide, worldwide used and built question and answers website, information about everything. The website is very huge and handles all issues in life. Now, what are the secrets to having a happy marriage? Of course, we understand that we have to have marriage is based on the biblical guidance, and then continue living based on the biblical guidance, we will succeed better. But how many of us do? We know that the marriage is in trouble, and we know all kinds of other issues that have been breaking our marriages. But let's look at some three facts. A successful partnership takes effort. We cannot just leave the marriage alone. We have to see effort to have a successful marriage and bother about our communication. Now, many times when children come to our marriage, they don't know how to handle the situation, and the children start taking much our time, and we forget to give private time to our spouse. It's important when the children come that we continue having a weekly meeting, going outside together to dinner, and at least once a month going somewhere overnight and have somebody reliable watching our children during that time. One big reason leading to divorce is that we don't invest the time into each other as we used to before the children come. So this is one big secret that most people don't know, that when the children come, the children will take time and the marriage will have difficulties because we have not invested enough time into each other. So that's one of the most important things when the children have come. Before the children come, there are other issues that are also continuing similar after the children come. The number one thing, as I mentioned, is we have to see effort to keep the marriage. What does it mean? We have to communicate, we have to speak up, we have to be honest, we have to respect and be polite. Most of us have heard the commonly parodied statistic that half of all marriages end in divorce. This is not really necessarily true. This is important to hear. Why is it not true? The good news is, the people who know these things, the experts say, that the real divorce rate is actually much lower. Roughly only one quarter, about 25% of first time, notice, of first time marriages end in divorce, according to 2014 report. The report also found that 4 out of 5 married couples are indeed happy. 4 out of 5 married couples are indeed in their first marriages. No, not every marriage break, but let's see again. Only 25%, that's quite much anyway, of first marriages break. What does it mean? So, what do these happily married folks do that the rest of us don't, the rest that my and may fail? Number one, they have trust in their relationship, and having trust in your relationship is the key. They invest time in communicating, and they have the trust that it will work, that will work. That's number one thing. Sounds like it's not something important, but that's the most important thing, to believe that this marriage will work out, that we will find a way of handling. But that is only happening if we communicate our problems and do not blame anything, anyone. We just have to together solve our situations. But we always know that we are going to be okay. When you have, and when we have this trust in our relationship, then you will have your relationship succeeding. Now, here are some other brief, but important issues. Your partner's, number two, is your partner's needs are just as important as yours. Well, sounds like a cliche, but in many times, in many marriages, some situation, in some situation, one person becomes dominant and demands that this is the way I have to do this. But we have to understand, both partners' needs are just as important as yours. That's a principle when we handle everything in such a way that everybody can feel being important in this marriage. When your relationship goes bad, you start to have this false belief that your stuff is more important than your partner's stuff. And that's a bad, bad red flag. Learn how to compromise and focus on strengthening the partnership, but be honest with each other. That's the most important thing in the communication. Don't put your own beliefs, your own needs above the other person's. Then, next one, make time for touching. Well, sounds like, what is this? Is that really important? Yes, it is. When your spouse comes home from his or her work and you are home, you drop everything and go. You go to the door and hug your spouse. Pay attention to your spouse and show that he or she is the most important person in your life, and you continue doing this for the rest of your life. That's how you succeed together better. It sounds like most people don't do it. 95% of the married couples don't do it. But 100% of the couples who succeed in marriage do this. I'm not going to go through every single step of this making a happy marriage. I'm just giving you here something that is most commonly forgotten. And this is really important. Meeting your spouse, dropping everything you have, do everything what you're doing, or at least say, honey, I cannot do this, I cannot come here now because whatever is going on. But it must be always the number one priority thing that when your spouse comes home, that you go to the door to meet him or her and show attention and pay attention, and in a positive manner you hug. And if you just put commit to this kind of thing, so-called 10-second kiss, and you give a 10-second kiss by the door. Some people won't do it, I don't want to do it, as long as you have 10 seconds or longer hug. And if you have children, have them come to the door and pay attention to the homecoming parent, and they can count these 10 seconds together, the children, and that will strengthen the family union. Try this. Take this up and handle this way, and you will be succeed. You will be surprised what will be happening. You will be pleased with the success what you will reach. Just do it. Back to the touching. Regular touching is a surefire way to up the intimacy in your relationship. This doesn't necessarily mean sexual touching, although that is also important. It's more about finding subtle ways to physically connect with your partner. When couples are happier, they are more likely to hug. If you want to feel more connected, touch is something that can bring you closer initially and continuously. So touch. But before you start touching, discuss this topic with your spouse. Well, there are many kinds of books available. Don't trust every book. And despite this very simple, assuming you got married in a traditional manner. Traditional manner means that you first met, then you started dating, then you fell in love, then you started planning your, somebody proposed, you started planning your wedding, and step by step, finally the wedding came, and you got married. All these steps, they took time, and they cost money. Sometimes they took time for years. It's not a question how many years or how many months, but it took time and effort. And when you saw that much effort, it means that you would must have had a real love between the two of you. And real love never dies, no matter how you think, no matter what you think. If you don't pay attention to your spouse when you're married, if you don't agree what's important, that's important, that both of your matters are as important, if you don't put the time in discussing with each other, in touching and paying attention in every possible way, you will fail, no matter how much you were in love when you first met and when you got married. This is the way to keep up the flame. And then one more thing, compliment more often than criticize. You don't have to criticize ever. And if you have to, take it in a nice, polite, peaceful manner. Screaming, raising your voice is always wrong. Don't raise your voice. Compliment more than criticize. If finding faults in your spouse is wrong, then continuously find it wrong in your spouse, as will happen if you don't monitor your behavior. Is even devastatingly wrong. It will kill your marriage. Your marriage is worth everything. If you get divorced, you're making a worse mistake in your life, assuming you got married in a traditional manner. Compliment more than criticize. Find every day reasons to compliment your spouse. Research has shown that happily married couples tend to compliment one another 5 times as often as they criticize each other. But discuss these matters together and decide what you do so that you know what the purpose of these doings are. It's one of those things that needs to be a habit to compliment your spouse. One of the reasons it can really help is that the experts are finding is the problematic situation that we really forget. We get used to start criticizing. We get used to seeing all the negative things and assume that everything else will work out by itself. It does not. You have to be positive and decide before you even can start failing in your marriage what the principles are so they're going to follow. Start looking for kindness. how was my spouse kind to me today? You might come up blank at first, but then it becomes really easy, then it becomes a habit. Now, I only took up a few statements from a happy marriage, what I just went through. There are many more, but these are based on this research, the most important things. And the thing is this, if you get divorced, if you get separated, your children will suffer most. It will ruin your children. We have taken these issues up, and they are also on our website in several places, the 14 different difficulties what the children will face. You literally can kill your children. They can commit suicides, and they can land into prison because your separation or your divorce. And most people don't know this. To separate or to divorce, if you got married in a traditional manner, is the worst thing you can do to your own marriage. Is the worst thing what you can do to your children. So take this guidance now seriously and apply this. This sounds like easy thing. It sounds like it's important. It is absolutely important. So let's have one issue here. Handling about children's conduct disorders. It has a nice name, conduct disorders. But let's handle tantrums. Some tantrums should raise a red flag. Some don't have to. But we have known a long time that tantrums might either be signs for some kind of developmental problem or problem in the family union, meaning in your marriage. Don't blame your children. Look at your marriage, how well that works. It's normal for a preschool child to have temper tantrums, but tantrums that are prolonged or notably intense could be a harsh picture of antisocial behavior. A new study finds that children with conduct disorder are at risk of engaging in high-intensity defiant behavior, aggression, and destruction of property as they reach school age. But now you have to hear something important. If your marriage is happy, the children will not have so many tantrums. You need to understand that the children will respond to your unhappy marriage, and your marriage, if it's unhappy, is such something that you can heal when you start understanding that it can be healed. Start doing and applying these simple few principles what I just explained to you, and study, have the family meeting where you study on our website. You take material in a weekly meeting from the family material in www.sdaf1org.bb.com, and there tab services and sub-tab restoring any marriage, that's the family tab. And you, when you have children, you have every child, including the babies, in the family meeting. That family meeting about 2 hours long, maybe 3 hours, once a week. And during the week, you study. If you don't have children yet, you study with your spouse. And then you handle these materials. And so much material on the website is endless. And if you have children, you have all the children present in the family meeting, and they will study the same thing. And those children who cannot read yet, they are present anyway because they hear what's going on. And that all is something what they will take into their own life. This family meeting is meant to be lasting forever, as long as the children are in your home and they are gone. After when they're gone, then you continue with your spouse. The family meeting is the key to handle everything, and apply the information is the other key. When you have this family meeting, your family union will be getting stronger, your marriage will get stronger, and you will have a happy life, leading also into higher financial success. What does this mean now, the family meeting? It simply means it's a success meeting. And your children will learn the success principles for their life, and they will be thankful for you for the rest of their life. But let's go back to this tantrum. If you for some reason don't finish this article today, it's on our website, and you can take it there. Let's see if you can finish. A new study finds that children with conduct disorder are at risk of engaging in high-intensity defiant behavior, aggression, and destruction of property as they reach full age. Previously, we did not understand the empirical differences between normal and disruptive behaviors in preschoolers, like temper tantrums, for example, and behaviors that signal problems, says senior investigator Owen L. Luby, a UBY professor of child psychiatry at Washington University in St. Louis. If you went to your pediatrician and said, my 3 year is having tantrums, and the pediatrician would tell you to see a psychiatrist. We have a background information, background noise, because we are running this outside with the audience. So, high-pitched anger, although there was overlap between healthy young children and their peers who had conduct disorder, researchers say those who exhibited high-intensity defiant behavior, aggression toward people or animals, high-intensity destruction or property, peer problems, and deceitfulness, including stealing, were likely to have conduct disorder. Having those symptoms also made it more likely they would carry the disorder into elementary school. We characterize the symptom at high intensity when really high pitch. So that's how severe the anger is, says the researchers. Other factors that would qualify a symptom at high intensity would hint on how frequently the behavior occurs and the context in which it occurs. A high intensity symptom is one that is very acute or severe, occurs often a long duration and often and happens in a number of different contexts. Before I go forward in this, I reveal why I'm taking this. One of these reasons, and most important reason for these temper tantrums, is that the children sense what is going in your marriage. If your children have difficulties in their behavior, your marriage relationship in most cases needs healing. And the way to heal your marriage is to do what we teach on our website and what I've just briefly taken up in this radio show today. Heal your marriage as a model for your children, and then they will start copying you. If your marriage is, if you start screaming to each other, the children will have temper tantrums. So the children do what they see their parents doing, they copy it. They don't do what you tell them to do. And then you have these family meetings where you handle all material from our website step by step, discuss the material, and the children will know. Most of the time, all the tantrums will not even come, and if they have started, they will end. Because the happiness is the key, and the peace in family strength is the key here. The problems what children have experienced and solve in school, they are coming from a marriage problem between their two parents, their copies. If you are not married and you have one single parent, then you have to somehow pay more attention to your children's needs. Otherwise, because you are, as a single parent, you have more problems, and the children know that there's something missing. Because they say, where's my daddy, where's my mommy? They see other children having both. So this leads to problems. So these are complicated problems, but they can be handled when you take them seriously and believe what the science says. A high-intensity symptom is one that is very acute or severe at times, occurs over a long duration of time, and happens in a number of different contexts. And all these threats, all these things, the gender resemblance, are mostly coming from the family spirit is broken. So if you don't have a spouse, you have these family meetings with your children and study this material the way I have explained. That will solve your problem. As early as you can do that, do it, start doing this weekly.